Episodes in accordance for the wheelchair audience. You don't want to miss any audio clips, cause we're providing information, tips and some tricks for every state and every nation. Someone can benefit, like, what's the best fabric? Should I get the tiger's yellow carbon fiber palette?
Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheel mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Before we jump into today's topic, a brief reminder that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical, billing, or legal advice. Now, let's get to it. All right, wheelchair nerds, welcome back. Another episode. It is summertime. We always talk about the weather, I feel like, because I record these in Washington, D.C. So your weather report in from the nation's capital today on this fine July 1st is about 72 degrees. It's kind of chill here today, which is nice. I went outside to walk Rambo, my dog, was a little thrown off about how chilly it was, but it is still summertime. I think people look at the July 4th holidays, that's about to come up. I know that it's Canada Day for our folks or Canadians that are listening. July is kind of like the midpoint to summer for me. Like, I feel like there's still lots of folks that are going on vacation. There's still lots of opportunities to travel. So we're going to keep with our summertime vibe and keep with our travel vibe that we've had for a couple of other episodes. And today I'm really excited. I was joking with these two individuals we have on our podcast that we're interviewing, because I totally, as a recreation therapist by background, I totally fangirl when the theme park called Morgan's Wonderland first opened. So I'm stoked that we've got two members of the Morgan's Wonderland team to be interviewed today. We're going to talk about Morgan's Wonderland and also talk about what are some things to consider if you or your loved ones or the therapists that are listening, if you've got some of your patients that are considering going to go check out a theme park, what are some things to look out for? And like I said, specifically some of Morgan's Wonderland's programs for our folks that are in the Texas area or looking for a destination to book a vacation to. So pretty excited. So I will let you ladies kick it off. Brooke, do you want to go first? Tell me about you. Who are you? What do you do? All that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on here. This is always fun to share my passion and to drive more people to Morgan's Wonderland and all of our entities that we offer. So my background is I went to Texas State University, about 45 minutes north of San Antonio, and I got my degree in recreational therapy and started working as an intern here at Morgan's in our adaptive sports program. And I never left. I fell in love with it. It was one of those perfect scenarios that just kind of came to fruition, and worked on a couple different departments. I've worked through a few different areas and projects here at Morgan's, and it's really just led me to be the sports and recreational therapy director, and I love it. Couldn't ask for a better place to work, and it's great.
Nice. I did the same thing with my senior internship. When I graduated from Longwood College, or now Longwood University, out of Farmville, Virginia, I was working at a pediatric hospital as an intern, and it just so happened they have a full-time job. And so then I spent the next 12 years of my life. And it's so cool the way it works out that way, when you're on an awesome internship and then when they offer you a job. So props to you. I can recognize and experience that same journey. So we've also got Sharon here joining us today. So Sharon, tell us a little bit about you, and I guess what do you do? And, you know, why was working for Morgan's Wonderland something that drew you in? Brooke's a rec therapist. I get her pull to the organization. but what about yours, Sharon? What made you want to move over to Morgan's Wonderland?
Well, so my background is I'm a theme park girl. So when I was going to college to get my theater degree, I started working for the Disney organization because they're great. Theme parks are a great place to work when you're a college student. So I started working for them. And part of what I did during my time there were guided tours. So I got to see firsthand whenever we would have a guest on our tour who was an individual using a wheelchair, I got to see firsthand, you know, how that changed the park experience, and it changed the tour. It changed everything. Because at that time, the park was not super accessible. They've done a much, much better job at you know, rectifying that, particularly at the original park where I was. It was built in 1955, so no one was thinking about that back then. So that kind of planted the seed for accessibility in theme parks, but that was not the thing that I thought I would go into. I thought I would, you know, do film and TV and theater, and I did a lot of that. But because I had Disney on my resume, I would get hired for a lot of theme park jobs in different places. So I pretty much worked for all the major theme park companies, either directly as an employee or as a third party contractor and developing shows and rides for them. And then when we moved to San Antonio, I started working at SeaWorld for a while and was a show producer at SeaWorld. And then my son came along and I just wanted to take some time off to just be a stay home mom. So during that time, he got to be best buddies with his friend named Kenny. And just right at their fifth birthday, Kenny was in a car accident and he has tetraplegia now. Mm-hmm. So that completely changed their world. And because they were best buddies, it changed our world too. We saw all of the things that you go through to create that new normal and all of the struggles that they went through to make sure that he was going to be healthy, make sure he had the therapies that he needed and the equipment, the wheelchair that he needed. So I was actually here at Morgan's Wonderland on opening day, but I was here as a guest. So we went with that family and the mom called me and said, you know, you're a theme park person, so you have to come to this. We would love for, you know, the boys to be together, but I know you will want to see this place. So I was here opening day and completely blew me away. And it really, I could, you know, everybody here has heard the story and I've worked heard the story a million times, but there's a piece of equipment on the playground that's still there today where my son and his friend went up to it with no help from anybody. We didn't need to help them. The employees didn't need to help them. And they were able to play together the way that they were able to before the car accident happened. And so that moment for me crystallized what this whole organization is about, with the inclusion, inclusive play, bringing people together through those experiences. So a few years later, I was getting ready to go back into the job market and got a phone call from someone and said, hey, you know, what are you doing? We'd love to have you join the Morgan's Wonderland team. So that was 5 years ago. And so I'm still here.
Wow, that's super cool. That's super cool. So is your son still friends with Kenny? Was that his name? They're still good friends?
Yes, they are still BFFs. In fact, they're about to turn 21 now. So they're not little kids anymore. In fact, we're all going to Las Vegas next month to celebrate their 21st birthday. And, nice. You know, gotta do the gambling and all the adult stuff now that they're 21. So we'll be taking travel notes too.
Getting those cool mom points right there, taking your kid to Vegas for their 21st birthday. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a tradition in Kenny's family. And, you know, we just thought this would be a great opportunity. Their birthdays are 10 days apart. That's the other thing that kind of brought them together is they've been friends since they were about 6 weeks old. So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, definitely reach out if you have any questions about traveling or Kenny's family traveling in a wheelchair, and be sure to let us know. And there's some great resources we can give you guys. It's so funny how this world, and Brooke, I don't know if you see this, but this world of like wheelchairs and disabilities and anything that's like, we call it like complex rehab technology and anything adjacent, which I would consider what you guys are doing. It's so small. There's so many people that know each other. It's crazy. It's like, oh yeah, I know so-and-so who did this, who did that. So anyway, I, like I said, I'm super excited. I wish I could have been on location doing this. I will get down there one day and be sure to check you guys out. But before we jump into kind of the general things, who wants to kind of give me the history on Morgan's Wonderland for people who've never heard of it? And I know it's been open for a number of years at this point, but what are some of the programs? How has it evolved and whatnot over the years?
Well, our origin story starts with Morgan Hartman, hence the reason why everything is named Morgan's after Morgan. Morgan and her parents, Gordon and Maggie Hartman, were traveling. They were on a vacation and they were at a resort with a lovely pool. And there were some kids in the pool. They were playing. They had a ball. And Morgan was born with, we just found out last year, she has, and correct me if I say this wrong, but it's Hoffman-Raymond syndrome. Yeah. Brown syndrome, Patton Raymond Brown. It's only recently been identified. So individuals with that particular diagnosis typically have profound physical and cognitive disabilities. And so at that time, Morgan was not really able to express to the children that she wanted to join in and play with them. And so she kind of just jumped in the pool and the kids didn't know how to respond to her. They weren't bad kids. They just didn't know. And so they took their ball and they got out of the pool and everybody left. And so Morgan was heartbroken and Gordon and Maggie looked at each other and said, we have to do something to make this world a better place, not just for Morgan, but for other kids like her as well. And so Gordon was a home builder in his previous career. So he understood construction and how to, you know, get the permits and all of the things that are involved in building something as big as the theme park. And so, but Morgan was the inspiration behind everything that we do here.
Nice. So Brooke, do you want to tell me a little bit about the physical property and what's accessible? Like, we know what's around there, but then also I know we were trying to record this. You were off doing some sort of soccer stuff too. So I have to get to hear about like all the programs, but let's just start. Let's first start with like someone like me comes from Virginia. I have a cousin that has cerebral palsy. You know, with my cousin, what could we expect as out of town guests who are just kind of coming in for a day or two to check out the park?
Yeah. So that's my favorite part, right? It's all the features and all the amazing different stops and shops that we have. So Morgan's Wonderland, the park, the dry side is about 25 acres, over 25 attractions. That's how it started, right? We had four rides. We just went through a huge enhancement through some really great opportunities with the city. So we had different rides like off-road and the train and the Ferris wheel or the carousel. And now we have shifted and now we have the Wonder Bikes. So it's a little more aerial aspect of things that's wheelchair accessible, also accessible to your needs on how you want to interact with it, which makes it really fun. And so you can go as high up while it goes in a circle or as low as you want to be, but it's your choice. And then we still have the train, the Ferris wheel, the carousel. We just added a 4D theater. Sharon's going to have to jump in if I miss anything. We now have a boat ride around our lake. We have, and then the biggest one is we have a huge zip line. Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Nice. That was a big one to miss. But yeah, we have the first ultra accessible zip line. That's a four-seater that also can, you can put your ventilator on it. You can put your O2 tank on it. You can,
kick off. So like, hold up. So someone with like, say SMA type 1, because a friend of mine's daughter has SMA type 1 that's on a vent and she's 6 years old. She could zip line there with her family with a vent.
Yes.
Dang, yep. That's super cool. I have to say, that's really cool.
Yeah. So the whole concept, and I always say, like, we can sit here and tell you every detail, things like that. But if for anybody that is listening or anybody that's really wanting to get engaged, like, there's nothing like it until you put your feet on the ground. It's or your wheels on the ground or anything that you just feel that full blown inclusion, because it's not about necessarily the rides or the attractions. It's about the opportunity that you can do it independently. And it's your choice and it's not a forceful situation. So like it's forceful with, you know, all these rules and regulations of rides or attractions or even traveling, you know, since we're talking about traveling. When you get on an airplane, they force you to get into that transfer chair. When you get to a certain stop, they force you to do those things because of all the rules and regulations. Whereas we just try to break down those kind of barriers to make sure that you're maximizing your functional ability and your independence, because it's the autonomy of your body and the autonomy of your choice. So that's the dry side. The water park has five different splash pads. And what makes us super unique is the waterproof wheelchairs. So as Sharon mentioned, we have wheelchair ballet. A lot of people think I say ballet, and I'm like, I am not a dancer, not one of those to teach ballet, but full-blown respect for those that can. But a valet system, so very similar to your car. You know, they get your keys, and we get a ticket, and then you flip it and script it, right? It's the same concept. So if you roll up, you don't want to ruin your axles, your frame, the rest of all of the bearings and all of the knickknacks that a lot of people don't see, just the preventative maintenance that goes into somebody's wheelchair, we swap that out for one of our wheelchairs. So we have around 66 wheelchairs and we have three different types of wheelchairs. Again, try and maximize that level of independence. So if you roll up in a manual chair and you're independently propelling a chair, hey man, we got a great little manual chair here that you have different sizes depending on what you need. Let me get that for you, see if it fits. If not, we'll get you another one. Again, option. We have tilt and space chair. So if you don't have the ability to push independently or if you need assistance, a ventilator, an O2, a dry bag for your ventilator, because water and electricity don't go well with each other. We have opportunities for that. And then the biggest thing that we have is our pneumatic chair. And that's the first of its kind that we know of when it comes to a power wheelchair that is completely waterproof. And so it can be completely 100% submergible. There's 11 in the world. There's 10 of them here at Morgan's. They are extremely beneficial for folks that may want to prevent shoulder injury and want to just maximize their movement. and Propel, not what Propel, but Power, just from a recreation side of things. Or if you have SMA or Duchenne's or require a power chair to maintain your independence, but you don't really want to rely 100% on somebody else to push you around, we have that power chair as an option as well. And we have all of the accessories from boy part harnesses to lap straps to ventilator trays to dry bags to just different body position accessories to make sure you're comfortable. Because we're as you know, a recreational therapist, we're in it to get you in, go have a ton of fun, and then put you back into what other wheelchair that was specifically for you, right? But then that way you come back to a dry cushion, so you're not... We're really trying to help prevent with skin deterioration. We're really trying to help with a dry chair. Again, then you go home dry. And all seven of our changing rooms are all adult changing tables and can fit 2 to 3 wheelchairs in there as well as people. So that makes it pretty unique as well.
And some of them have lifts as well.
Yeah, two of those rooms have Warrior lifts. So if you need to transfer and use a Warrior lift, you can do that. So it's, again, it's pretty much, it's pretty well versed to what do you need and then let us support you doing it. I'm not going to tell you what you're going to need.
Right.
It's just more of, all right, what do you need? All right, let's do it. Let's get you out there as quickly as possible. And then let's figure out how to, you know, do it better next time if we need to. So.
Dang. That is super cool. And I'm mad at myself because I want to say I was down in Texas. This is awful. I'm pretty sure I was down in Texas in February. I would like to say that I remember these things, but I used to travel so much for when I was a clinical educator. And now when I'm in marketing, I travel, I go to what we call our big shows. And I'm pretty sure I was at a JW in San Antonio. I was so close. I was so close to y'all.
All
right.
Because those two things are just specifically for Morgan's Wonderland and Inspiration Island. So those are the programs within the park. We also have an adaptive sports program that started back in 2012 that incorporates in our sports complex now. And we have the camp and we have the MAC, which is the multi-system center at Morgan's Wonderland too. So there's lots of programs we can get into as well.
Nice. We could probably do an hour on each of them.
I was going to say,
I know. I'm going to pack my bags.
I'm going to say, easy.
About a bunch of things.
Yeah. And then we've also got a lot of projects in the works. We're about to open a surgical center here in the MAC. So it will be for individuals coming in that need dental care, eye care, maybe foot surgery, you know, outpatient procedures. But everyone here at the MAC, all of our clinical providers are specifically trained by an organization called Practice Without Pressure. So they're trained to work specifically with individuals with physical and cognitive disabilities as well. So that's going to open here sometime this summer, real soon. About to throw the doors open to that. We've also got something called the Wonder Care is being built. They just started pushing dirt up the street from us for that. That's going to be a day facility so that families who maybe rely on, for example, a home health care nurse, you know, sometimes things happen. The nurse has to call out for the day. There's no one to replace that individual. And so maybe a parent has to stay home or, you know, another adult has to stay home to take care of an individual. This will eliminate that for those families so they can bring their loved one to the Wonder Care Center. There will be trained staff. There'll be nursing staff there. And it's for age 0 up to, I believe, 26. So there will be folks there who are well-versed and trained and certified to take care of the needs of someone with complex medical needs or intellectual cognitive disability and developmental disabilities so that they can feel comfortable having their loved ones stay there for the day while they have to go to work or whatever it is that they need to do. So that's just started construction on that. And then we're in the planning stages for an ultra accommodating hotel. So we've
Stop
been...
It. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I mean, y'all know.
So many other questions.
I'm saying, we're just getting started.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
And that's what Gordon says all the time. We're just getting started. So it definitely keeps us busy. But we're very excited about the hotel and the possibilities for that because it won't just be two rooms in a hotel that will be accessible. It will be about 100 room facility. And we'll have rooms for mobility, rooms for deaf, rooms for blind guests, and then also rooms for sensory friendly options for sensory sensitivities. So, and we're looking at ways to make the whole complex as accessible and welcoming as possible for all ages and all abilities.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I know a lot of the things that I've read about y'all is that you really put a focus on all abilities and disabilities. I know sometimes people will think about like, oh, I'm in a wheelchair and I'm going to a theme park. And they don't oftentimes think about comorbidities that may go along with it, right? Like, for example, if you have a loved one who, let's say you've got a wounded veteran who has had a closed head injury and he's in a wheelchair, but he wants to come and bring his kiddos for a fun time. You guys, it sounds like you have things that are really would make it so not only physically be wheelchair accessible, but also take into account other things, whether it be emotional, whether it be, you know, like I'm thinking like post-traumatic stress or sensory needs. It sounds like y'all do have done your best to incorporate all of that so everyone feels included. Ta-da, inclusion. Amazing.
Yeah. One I like to tie into, Andrea, you'll appreciate that, right? Recreation in general, and me being a recreational therapist, we look at it as a holistic approach, right? So even like we have a military reintegration program that specifically supports our wounded, ill, and injured service members to transition, you know, as well as they can, right, through services with our adaptive sports program. And we partner, though, with a lot of folks to do that. And that's another thing that I would say that we're very good at is we partner with the city. And we partner just the city in general, like a lot of people in the city to make that happen. So like our adaptive sports program, that exact example, I see, and I'm so honored to see it almost on a weekly, if not daily basis, when we sit here and say, hey, athlete that just came in from treatment for a clinical setting. Now we're trying to get you into adaptive sports and back into reintegrated into civilian community. Why don't you go to the playground and play with your kid for the first time since you were injured? And then go to the water park. And you know what? Let's go back to the MAC to get some services to where you feel like you're navigating the medical, the community, the therapy, the all the different components that we call the big three ring binder of services that you have to navigate. And then let's go to the camp 15 minutes. So everything that we're building, we look at it as, yes, ADA is a law and it's, you know, you have to see that for what it is, but we try to go above and beyond that because we look at the holistic approach of it. So yes, the doorway has to be this much or the rails have to be this much or whatever standards there are, but that still doesn't mean it's accessible and it doesn't mean that it's inclusive and it doesn't mean that it's meeting the needs for everybody that may be invisible or very visible or you don't have to make it visible because they're humans first, right? And so that's really the high horse that I get on often is because it's more about education and awareness that we're trying to get and tie into even more that we want people to see and know. And that's why I say come visit and put boots on the ground and wheels on the ground and, you know, come see us because there is nothing like it when you can take even just a piece back home with you to make it more accessible, not only for yourself, but for everybody around you. Because you can have access to a place, but it doesn't mean that people make it inclusive.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's funny you talk about like, you know, being a rec therapist and inclusion and whatnot. When I was a clinical educator, okay, so my background, just to, for our listeners and real quick for Brooke and Sharon, is that I worked for 12 years as a rec therapist at a pediatric transitional care and rehab hospital here in the DC, or I almost said area, but actually in DC. And while I was there, I always tell people like one day I was eating a turkey sandwich and I was very early on in my career at the hospital and I'm just hanging out in the rec room because no surprise at a hospital, that's where a lot of people would eat lunch because that was where the fun stuff was. So therapists are in there and I hear the assistive technology team meeting. And I'm listening to them as they're talking about how, oh, we've got this really, really, this kid that we know can drive a power wheelchair, but he just refuses to do it. I take a bite of my turkey sandwich, swallow. I'm like, well, have you tried blah, blah, blah? You know, his favorite activity is this. Have you tried? And they're just looking at me going, how did you know all of this stuff? I'm like, we're rec therapists. Like, I was like, do you want to join the AT team? I'm like, I thought that was just for speech therapists, OTs and PTs. They're like, I will take you. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and then like the more I learned about assistive technology and I was like, oh, this is silly. Why are more rec therapists? And this was 20 plus years ago. My big claim to fame for the rec therapy world is that I was the first recreation therapist to be permitted to take the resin exam to get certified. And then I just kind of like morphed into, we developed a training program for power mobility, a training program for all comm. And I kept just throwing in the rec therapist, like in me, just kept throwing stuff in. So then when I wanted to move over to do something different, because everyone was like, your approach is just so different, but it works. I had another wheelchair manufacturer that I teamed up with. And I was like, hey, I'd love to do clinical education. And then I traveled the country. And I remember It was always so fun when I'd go up and I would proudly have like my credentials on the slide and people would be like, oh, is that a typo? I'm like, well, I'm sorry. And that's because in the world of rehab technology suppliers, they had their acronym is CRTS, Certified Rehab Technology Supplier. And we were we're CTRSs, as Brooke knows. Okay. I'm like, nope, not at all. Not a typo. And so I would explain it. And then by the end of the session, anybody who was kind of like doubting, like, do you really know about wheelchairs and positioning and the purpose? They're like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's just, so it's so cool to see how just really looking at that holistic approach. And that's really how I approach wheelchair evaluations too. I will always tell people when you're doing a wheelchair evaluation, whether you are the OT or PT doing the eval or you're the client, consult with your rec therapist, especially the inpatient team. Find out what is the most important thing that they like to engage in because their wheelchair should be able to accommodate that, whichever one you're sending them home with. So there's my high horse, Brooke. You said you had one. That's mine.
Hey, I love it. No, I mean, this conversation will continue, I feel like. Man, we're geeking out at this point.
I know.
It's just a passion of both of ours, I know.
Absolutely. So back to our travel, right? How many, I have no idea, Sharon, you might know the numbers about this as far as like people who come into the park, but how many people would you say annually, what's your percentage come from out of state and like look at Morgan's as a destination vacation for their folks?
Oh gosh. It's, you know, I don't have the stats for this year, but I would say it's roughly about 40% of our guests come from out of state or around the world. We've hosted individuals from 123 countries and counting and all 50 states. So we've definitely had individuals coming from all over to come and visit the park. We're the only one of its kind, as Brooke mentioned earlier. There is another theme park in Florida called Give Kids the World. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks in, you know, in the rec therapy community, I know are aware of it, but it's not open to the public. You have to be staying at like Ronald McDonald House or one of those organizations. It's not open to the public the way Morgan's Wonderland is. So we're the only one that anyone can come to at any time. The park is open and enjoy that inclusive play. We're having a great year this year, though. I know that since COVID, we've gradually kind of been ramping back up. And this year seems like we're going to be probably breaking some attendance records. We've got, as Brooke mentioned earlier, we've got four new attractions to talk about. It's the first major renovation that the park has had since we opened in 2010. And people are really excited about it. And the city of San Antonio has been really great. Visit San Antonio has been a great partner in getting the word out about the renovations and the things that we've been doing here. So I know that they are also reaching a lot of folks who are interested in traveling. The goal for Visit San Antonio, they want to make San Antonio put us on the map as one of the more inclusive and accessible cities to travel to. They've been doing a lot of work down on the Riverwalk, which is one of the city's prime attractions and has historically been very not accessible. They've done a lot of work to encourage that and create opportunities for more accessibility. We have some hotel partners that are working on that as well, and they want to make their facilities more and more inclusive. They talk to my team. They talk to folks on Brooke's team. They talk to people on our development team as well, just trying to get information from us. And they want to know, how can we make our hotel more accessible? And it's not just, as you were mentioning earlier, Brooke, it's not just about the physicality, because the physical environment is typically thinking about ADA and mobility and those types of things. But it's so much more than that. It's, you know, do you have flashing lights? Do you have loud music? You know, do you have different colored flooring for wayfinding for individuals with low vision and vision impairments? So it's about a lot of different things to make that holistic environment and to make your whatever facility we're talking about, whether it's a theme park or a hotel or an office building, making that more accessible for all different types of abilities.
For sure, for sure. So I have to ask, I call this word the F word of the complex rehab technology industry. So I'm going to ask you guys the F word about funding, meaning how expensive is it is? Because I know a lot of families may be hesitant if we have got families listening going, oh man, like, you know, we spend a lot of money as people with disabilities in order to do what just the average person can do for a high price. They've got to spend three times as much. What it like park admission and that sort of stuff in relation to, we'll say, parks that are not as specialized as Morgan's Wonderland. How do you guys, you know, rank in terms of a day of admission price and all that good stuff?
Well, we're very much on the low end of that scale. First of all, if you want to drop the The free?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, drop the free.
You have a more fun F word than I do. I've got funding and you've got the free F word.
We do.
Man, yeah.
So as we started talking about, you know, holistic approach and trying to meet the needs for not only physical aspects, but also the intellectual and developmental side of things and the sensory side of things and just all, even mental health, right? Everybody, we always forget mental health is in everybody. In that space of needing an out or some recreation, or, you know, you never know what's going on in somebody's day to day, but cost and finances are oftentimes a huge trigger for a lot of things. And so we are a no cost park for anybody that has a physical, intellectual, developmental disability to come into our park. We do not have any fees for any of our programs, such as our STRAPS program, our inclusive sports program, or our direct service program that's specialized to do treatments. And then we also subsidize the cost for an individual that does not have a disability. So they're not rank and bank trying to cover what we don't charge folks with a disability. So we have free parking. You can bring whatever food you want in as long as it's obviously non-alcohol, right? We always like to make sure there's a clear understanding there. But just free parking alone, you're usually charged about $50 to $100 a car. And then you go into the theme park and that's a $50 ticket, $70 ticket, $100, depending on where you're going, right? And we're really trying to cut that barrier down, even from bringing your own food in. Like you can bring whatever food you want into our park because we have no idea what dietary restriction you're on. Mm-hmm. And we also have different services of food options, but we don't want to restrict you from just having to do that. So kind of give you every opportunity to be as low cost as you want to make it.
I mean, you can, you know, for an adult who's paying full admission for both water parks, the admission is under $30, for example.
Wow.
And that's for both parks. So we are a lot less than most other theme parks.
Even our season pass right now is $55.
Yeah. So it's pretty reasonable. The way that we subsidize that is we have some corporate sponsors. Of course, we couldn't do this without them. You know, they provide some funding. For example, Valero was a big investor in the camp when we built the camp. So we have these wonderful partners who provide some of the big ticket funding for us. We also have, we do a yearly gala where we do fundraising. It's a lot of fun. Everybody gets to come and gather, but it's also fundraiser for that. And it subsidizes a lot of those free admissions and keeps the admission cost for the rest of the family lower. We do have discounts for seniors and for military. So if, you know, family members are a member of those, either of those demographics, then there's a discounted admission for them as well to the parks.
Nice. Yeah, man, when you guys talk about inclusion and barriers, you're trying to take away like legit every barrier, not just the physical barriers and whatnot, but also financial barriers. That's pretty sweet. It sounds like you guys have like the dream job. Not that I don't enjoy my job. And if any of my ProBill colleagues listening to this, I have the dream job too. That sounds amazing. But, you know, let's talk about someone. You two are both, you know, content experts, we could say, on theme parks in general. So say somebody, like I'm here in Virginia and it is just not feasible for us to fly our family to Texas, but we've got a few theme parks just down the road in the Richmond area and Williamsburg area. If a family is looking to plan a trip to a theme park, I don't know, what are some of your like top 3, 4, 5, whatever you want to say, like things that someone should really research prior to planning, we'll say a day trip to a theme park? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I was going to say you're close to Williamsburg.
I am. Bush Gardens, Water Country.
So indeed. Well, I would, the first thing I would recommend is start with their website and take a look at their website. So the first thing you want to notice is their website accessible? If their website's not accessible, that's going to give you an indication of maybe the park is, you know, or the facility is not very accessible either. So start with that. Take a look at what they have on there. You may need to utilize some of those functions as well. So make sure you turn on all those accessibility functions if they have them on there. Our website, if you go on our website, you'll see a little widget button on there and you can click on that. It will give you a menu of choices on how to access our website. So if you need, for example, if you need to turn all of the animations off, you can do that. If you need it to be grayscale rather than color, you can do that. So there's a lot of different options that you have on our website. And because that's where everybody starts. You have to buy your tickets. You have to find out when are they open? What hours are they open? So everyone starts on that website. So that'd be my first recommendation is get on their website and see, first of all, if the website is even accessible. And then, you know, look for their accessibility tab. Most major theme parks have them. Disney, of course, has them. Six Flags, SeaWorld, kind of the big major parks will have a section on there where you can find out all about their accessibility. Six Flags, for example, I'm going to toot their horn a little bit for a minute. They've got a really, really extensive accessibility tab where you can go on there and you can click on any attraction in their theme park and find out, is it accessible? Some coasters, for example, there's just no way to make a coaster accessible for certain individuals, depending on, you know, what their diagnosis is. So is it accessible? If it's accessible, who's it accessible for? So if you have a seizure disorder, you may not want to ride a ride if they say it has strobes, whereas, you know, physically it may be accessible for you, but it may cause some other type of adverse reaction. So you just want to go through there and you can click on any ride and find out all kinds of details about pretty much all their rides and attractions. It's pretty extensive. The downside, of course, is that you have to apply for the passes. And I know right now Disney is in the news about that because of the changes they're making to their policies and everything. But Six Flags also has that. You have to go in advance. Anybody with a disability who travels knows you've got to do a lot of it. We've been planning our Vegas trip since December, for example. So you've got to do a lot of advanced planning. You know that, but make sure you're getting on there in plenty of time to go through any of the phone calls or the interactions that you need to have with the employees and get those, any kind of, if you need ride passes, accessibility passes, make sure that you give yourself plenty of time and get your patience on because you could be on the phone a while. Particularly with Disney, we're hearing that people are on the phone for, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours to get their accessibility passes right now because they just rolled out this new thing and it's, you know, they're still getting the bugs out of it, so to speak.
Yeah, so for sure,
you know, lots and lots of patience, but those are the places that I would just start with the website, see what their accessibility is. And then also if you have the opportunity on the website to do like a 360 tour, look at as many videos as you can look at of the facility, get a feel for what it looks like. For example, Williamsburg, Williamsburg is a great park, but its claim to fame, of course, is it's kind of a history reproduction, right? If you're a colonial Williamsburg. So you're going to want to take a look at any videos you can see. Are there cobblestones?
Yep.
Are there real cobblestones or is that simulated, you know, concrete where you can pretty much, that would be pretty easy to roll over, but something that's a little more historically accurate is probably not very accessible or certainly not for someone who's in a manual chair. So look at as many videos, as many maps, get those visuals. Like Brooke was saying, it's different when you can see it. It's different when you're there, but it's also different if you can get those videos. And then the third thing I would recommend is, you know, look up some of these great travel bloggers. I think we all know about Curb Free with Corey Lee.
Corey's a good personal friend of mine. We text often.
Okay. So yes. Well, there you go. Give him a shout out. Take a look at, you know, it's possible that he's been there.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
You know, he does great videos and, you know, great blog articles about the different places he's traveled. So, but he's not the only one out there. So I would, you know, start with him and then, you know, Google some other folks. Maybe he hasn't been where you want to go, but maybe there's somebody else out there who has been. And then also, this is a burgeoning industry, but look for someone who is a travel agent that specializes in travel for
There's
disabilities.
One actually down in San Antonio. We actually talked with her. Oh, gosh, her name is escaping me. But yeah, Christy Durso. Yes,
Christy Durso.
She did our travel podcast series. She's one of the people that's on that. So yeah, Christy Durso is awesome.
She is awesome. And she's definitely, she gave us a lot of pointers about the hotel, for example. Mm-hmm. So she's amazing. And she will get on the phone. If you've booked a hotel room somewhere and you need help with it, she will get on the phone and she will not let them get away with shenanigans. So,
yes, for sure. She made me think, I'm like, why do I book any trip without a travel agent? And I don't have disabilities. I'm like, man,
yeah,
I need to rethink this part of my life. But yeah.
especially if you're going someplace complex, or if you're going overseas, or, you know, you're going someplace where you don't speak the language, or you don't speak it very well, having a travel agent, or even booking through, there are travel agencies and groups that book travel tours for individuals with disabilities, looking at those types of companies and those organizations and getting the help through them. Even just to ask some questions, but booking travel with them too is a great way to go. I read things all the time about them. I think it's the wheel. Oh, it's like W-O-W. It's Wheels. But they have a great Facebook page, and they're always posting about places they've gone, individuals who are members of the group on the Facebook page will post about trips that they've taken. Somebody was asking about, you know, traveling to Morocco, for example. It's like, I've heard it's not a very accessible country. And people were jumping on saying, hey, I just got back from Morocco, and this is where I went, and this is what I did. So there's groups out there on social media, too, that people can access. I'm going to throw it to Brooke here for a second, and I'm going to look up the name of that.
Is it Wheel the World? Is it that one? There's one group called Wheel the World.
I mean, Wheel the World, yeah. Let me look it up real quick while you guys talk.
Yeah. I had some friends who went on a trip with them just recently. Mm-hmm. Shane and Hannah, they went and with my friends Cole and Charisma. And so they all went together. They sent me this hysterical picture from them on the plane going over there. But yeah, so no, there are a lot of great resources out there for folks. And which one was it?
It's Wheel the World.
Wheel the World. Okay. Yeah. As soon as you said, that's a super cool.
And the other one, you know, there's other bloggers like Misa on Wheels. You know, she travels and talks a lot about her experiences, both good and bad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, check it out. Especially if you're a social media user, get on there and start doing some searches and find some communities that, you know, that are doing what you're doing or looking, have already done what you're looking to do.
For sure. For sure. And then of course we have to remember, you know, staying on the whole advocacy forefront of what is happening in the world. I don't know if you guys had, you know, heard everything that was going on with the DOT. They're looking to change their rules surrounding what airlines have to do. And so, because ADA doesn't apply to airlines, Delta made a big splash at the QRSMA conference. Our folks were down there and we got videos of people driving in there. Turns out, we talk small world, Brooke, one of my coworkers at HSC here in DC, who is a PT, is a part of that stuff going on with Delta, with making places for folks to be able to drive their wheelchair onto a plane. So, I mean, it's really cool to see all of the amazing things that are happening out there. And like I said, I'm looking forward to, we're planning to record a podcast on RVing, because I think it's important to think about road trips. You know, I was just over at my best friend, who's shocking as an OT, over her house yesterday, and her husband's uncle was in town, and we're talking about, like, he drives up from Florida and we're in Virginia. I'm like, does Lewis's family ever, like, fly? And she's like, oh no, like, they're big road trip people. I'm like, yeah, you know, like, you just think about how many people, just by nature, you know, maybe pre-morbid, you know, prior to an injury or having children with disability, they like to do road trips. So it's like, it's just important to think about the different attractions that people can get to, and really not always thinking travel is going to be super expensive. You got to hop on a plane. I mean, back in the day, we, you know, I always talk about, I'm a Gen Xer. So, you know, we rode in the blue wood paneled station wagon, you know, with a seat that was backwards. Not sure how that panned out.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, but you know, I mean, road trips really were where it was at. I feel like COVID actually brought that back a lot, because you've got all these folks on TikTok that are now like professional campers. That's how they live their lives, being out and camping and whatnot. So anyway, a little bit off track there, but I think in general, when it comes to theme parks, my biggest thing is making sure people, because there are theme park junkies. It sounds like, Sharon, you are a theme park junkie.
I'm definitely, yeah. If you do a theme park nerd podcast, I'm there.
Indeed. So I think it's just important for people to realize that post-injury, you know, if you did sustain some sort of acquired injury, whether it's a brain injury, spinal cord injury, a diagnosis that happened later in life, ALS, or you've got children, I think it's important to know that there are folks out there that are working together to make it so you can still be included in the different activities and whatnot that are happening, and really continuing to beat that drum so people can hear that louder and louder. Like, hey, folks want to be included. As you were talking about Busch Gardens, I was picturing Busch Gardens. We used to go there as a kid. It's a pretty hilly park. I don't know if you've ever been there, Sharon, but it's definitely pretty hilly. And Brooke, they no longer actually serve beer. They did back in the day. My parents used to drag us over to the beer garden. As kids, they used to give away free beer. It was the 80s.
Oh, because Busch doesn't own it anymore.
No, Busch doesn't own it anymore.
Yeah. Because yeah, they used to have beer over here at RC World, yep, and they don't anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, it has been super fun talking to y'all. Is there anything else that you guys can think about that we didn't touch on? I know I'm already thinking about other future episodes, thinking about other collaborations we could do. I'm like, do you guys take volunteers? Can I think of an excuse to come down there, to come and hang out? I mean, I used to run a camp myself, so let's go. Like, what do we need?
Go. All of the things. Just come down and see us. So, the excuse is that we just want to see you here.
Yes. Absolutely.
We want to include everybody. So,
yeah. Okay, now here's your toughest question of the podcast. Why are you a wheelchair nerd? Ha ha. I'll get it.
Why am I a wheelchair nerd?
I can lead you guys. Can lead the witnesses or not, but we like to ask every guest that because the whole purpose of this podcast is to really bring people together. And, you know, when we were thinking about the name of this podcast, in the world of therapy and folks who specialize in wheelchairs, you really just, you know, we're the ones that you pass in public that are like looking at a wheelchair. We're not looking at the person in the wheelchair. We're looking at the setup, right? Like we just care about that. So, and then my friends who use wheelchairs are like, oh my gosh, we're wheelchair nerds because we have to know our chairs inside and out. So go ahead. Why are y'all wheelchair nerds?
I'll go first because I probably have the quicker answer because I know less about them than Brooke does. But yeah, for me, so one of the things that we do here is you were talking about what creates inclusion, and Brooke kind of touched on this a little bit. But I always told companies and organizations that kind of want to know a little bit about our secret sauce. I always told them it starts with culture. Mm-hmm. It absolutely starts with culture. The building is the afterthought to the culture. So one of the things we do here is we have everybody do what's called an introduction to inclusion. It's just inclusion 101. It's terms, it's etiquette, it's stuff that, you know, we all know backwards and forwards and live and breathe, but a lot of folks just don't know. There was a survey done in the UK about 5 years ago that talked about how individuals who are non-disabled interact with individuals with disabilities. And a lot of people said that they don't really interact with folks who have disabilities, and that was by choice. And when they asked that subset, why don't you interact with individuals with disabilities? 87% of the people said, I'm afraid of saying or doing the wrong thing. I don't want to insult anybody. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And so they just kind of respond to that feeling by just not engaging at all. So having the culture of inclusion, of education, which is one of our core values, is to educate people about how to interact with individuals with disabilities. And one of the people that worked with me on doing some of the training that we do is an individual who uses a wheelchair. And he said a great thing when we were talking about terminology and explaining to people why we don't want to use the term wheelchair bound. Mm-hmm. And he said, my wheelchair, I don't feel bound by my wheelchair. My wheelchair is freedom. My wheelchair allows me to live an independent life. He had an adapted vehicle. He could drive here to work. I live as independent a life as I possibly can. And a lot of that is because of my wheelchair. And that just really set in my heart that this is not just a piece of equipment that we get to have or that, you know, we can get along without for a day or two or if the airline breaks it. This is somebody's freedom. This is somebody's mobility. This is independence and dignity. Mm-hmm. So I would say that be why I'm wheelchair nerd.
Love it. Love it. Brooke, why are you a wheelchair nerd?
That's tough to follow, but no, I think mine is just honestly just the natural nature of the beast, right? Coming out of college, you learn all the recreational therapy things. You learn about all this different technology. You learn about adaptive equipment. You learn about adaptive sports. You learn about inclusive sports. You learn about clinical settings. You learn about all these different things, right? And so when I got my internship within an adaptive sports, wheelchair sports-based organization, it just kind of fell right into my lap. And then I just drew to it in the sense of, oh man, like this camber's not right. We need to tighten this. We need to tighten that. We got to fix the bearings. Oh man, you're wobbly. And I remember I was at a school one time doing a clinic and this young girl, her wheel wasn't, or her axle wasn't all the way into the housing and she was wobbling. I was like, that's like me having an untied shoe. And mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't tell me my shoe's untied and I trip, that's going to hit me in the face. And so I said, hey man, let me look at your chair real quick. Like, this is unsafe. And I told her, I said, this is like me having an untied shoe. Like, if you continue to roll down this ramp and your wheel falls off, like, you're hitting the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of made a joke out of it and just kind of worked through that situation. But if I didn't have that knowledge, like, how the coach is going to know that knowledge? How is her friends and peers going to know that knowledge? Like, mm-hmm. it becomes down to that education and awareness. But I was very borderline honored and blessed to be like, man, I'm so glad that I know this information to support mm-hmm. this young person. So they have stable freedom, right? Kind of what Sharon was talking about. And that kind of, and I only have that because of what I do on a daily basis, which is to support all of our adaptive sport athletes, but also all of our events and guests that come through wheelchair valet. For years, I did that and I fixed all the chairs because I was the one that took care of the rust. Rust and water, real life thing. Metal, water. Hey guys, it's a real life thing. And, WD-40 does not fix all. So
indeed.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, it was just, I think I'm a wheelchair nerd just because there's no reason why people should not have the opportunity to participate in recreation and be a contributing member of society. And if that chair is their reason of freedom or their way of getting around, like, who's me to not support them in that? Because, you know, we all need support and we all have our village. And if you don't have a village, I highly encourage, like, that's how you get through life. And that's how you surround yourself with joy and happiness and sometimes just heartache and toughness, right? But if that village is what you lean on, that village is what you continue to support yourself with. And this has been my village for a very long time and naturally fell into, I was talking to Permobile about all kinds of stuff back when I was at Wheelchair LA. I was like, man, I need some help on this. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, but I wasn't going to be able to best serve our guests if I didn't have people to lean on to educate me where I needed to get educated. So I just love it. Fell right into it. I play more wheelchair sports than I do stand-up sports nowadays. And being somebody that does not identify as having a physical disability, you know, it's one of those very humbling aspects, and they kick my butt. But I'm here for it, and I kick their butt sometimes, too. And when I do, I'm pretty proud. So, it's just about contributing and being a part of a cultural change, I think, for me. It's just what it chalks up to.
Absolutely. Well, y'all, I had a blast. I had no idea when we first started recording this where this would take us. I'm hoping this is the start to a beautiful relationship, as they say. Let's be cliche with that. And thanks for joining us on the podcast, guys. And for everybody else who's listening, thank y'all so much. We will put information in show notes, but at the end of the day, make sure you're checking out Morgan's Wonderland and connecting with these folks because they're doing some really cool things down there. And any therapists listening, any of my OTs and PTs listening, reach out to your friendly recreation therapist. We're always here to help you. So we'll talk soon, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us, Angie.
Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobile. Today's episode was brought to you by...
Enhance your manual wheelchair experience with Smart Drive MX2 Plus and Speed Control Dial. With this intuitive power assist device, you can start, stop, and change your speed on the go with ease. Smart Drive can reduce up to 81% of manual wheelchair pushes and may help decrease repetitive stress injuries. Installation is easy and takes less than 5 minutes. Pair your Smart Drive with an Apple Watch or the Push Tracker E3 for even more control options. Power your push with Smart Drive and the Speed Control Dial from Permobile.
Thanks for checking out this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @WheelchairNerds. And tell your friends about our podcast too. Oh, and we really appreciate it if you'd give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment sharing what your favorite thing about Wheelchair Nerds is. Last but not least, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or know a great guest, hey, it could even be you. You could be that next great guest. Send us an email. Tell us why. You can reach us at wheelchairnerds@permobile.com or DM us on one of our social platforms. We love hearing from you.